Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we once again just praise you for this day, and we praise you for this fellowship, and we praise you for the fact that you're bringing those whose hearts are wholly given to you together to accomplish your purposes for this final hour. And so, Father, we just give you this meeting and this teaching, and we ask, Father, you just continue to pour your love out upon us and express your heart and reveal your heart to us, Father, so that we might be edified this day and that we might be prepared to go further on with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last evening, I began to talk about the love of the Father, and I will continue on with that. And this will deal more with the refining process. And I know you're all going to be able to relate to the things I touch on, but it's very important for us to have a foundational view and revelation of the ways that God works, and of course the purpose that he's working towards in us. And one of the scriptures I dealt with, of course, was Hebrews 12 yesterday, and that the particular part to key in on was that he disciplines us for our good, or our greatest eternal benefit, so that we may share his holiness. In other words, so we may have that divine nature abiding within us that Peter talked about. And you know, in these days, every child of God needs to begin to seek a deeper revelation of the Father's method of bringing us into the fullness of all that is ours in Christ. And when we do that, we're going to understand his refining process, and we're going to understand all the time, not all the time what he's doing, but we're going to understand that as we exercise faith, we will become aware of things and how he's leading us and guiding us and preparing us. Because only God knows the fullness of our destiny, and he's preparing us for things that don't even exist in the natural right now. So again, that's a good exercise in faith. But we know that he's faithful. The work that he's begun, he is faithful to finish that work in us, and he'll do it perfectly. We've talked a lot about the inner chamber and the importance of that. That is still the hub or the key to all things as far as we go. And that is, number one, our relationship with God. 1 John 3, verses 21 to 24, the word says, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him." That goes back to that scripture in John 15, 7. That talks about if the word abides in us and we abide in the word, that whatever we ask, we shall receive. So John's expanding on it here. And of course, he adds a little bit of revelation there to it when he says, if our heart does not condemn us. How much better it is for us to be in that place where the power of the blood is effectively working and covering us and continually cleansing us from all unrighteousness. That is much clearer to hear God from that position, obviously. And it's also conducive to us wanting to go into the presence of God instead of, you know, holding back and feeling we're not worthy. That's always the devil. Anytime you experience unworthiness or condemnation, it is the devil. I don't care who he uses to say it to you. It will not come from God. We have a loving Father, and he is patient, he is kind. And the Bible says it's his kindness that leads us to repentance, not beating us over the head till we do what he says. So it's very important that we do understand the heart of the Father and the way that he deals with us, so that when the devil tries to come along and discourage us or dishearten us, his quote-unquote guidance, we can know that it's not from God. And I'm going to deal with a scripture a little later on in Hebrews that talks about having our senses trained, even our senses trained to discern between good and evil. And that is God's will for us to do that. He wants his people in the know, absolutely. This is not a good hour to not know what's going on. We need to be a people who know. So continuing on, he said, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Again, that whole idea of faith, love, and obedience. It's a cycle, a kingdom cycle. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Again, it is of extreme importance for each one of us to realize that whatever is taking place in our lives, whether it's a time of waiting on God, whether it's a time of activity, when God's leading us out, we need to realize that whatever's happening, that it is for our greatest good, and we have to believe it's for the greatest eternal benefit of all those who cross our path, whether we say something, whether we don't. That's the mindset that is a spontaneous fruit of abiding in Christ all in all. So it's very important. And again, it takes the quote-unquote worry or anxiousness out of serving God. Because if every Christian can realize that not only is God trustworthy, but it's His desire to empower us completely, then we don't strive in our own power to do these things at all. And like I said, even though there's a great, Satan has woven a great network of things in the church at large that are misrepresentative of God, and strongholds that have been built up over many, many years, even since the beginning of the church, God has a plan to take those things down very quickly. Because if a believer will just turn and realize that and make Jesus their focus, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, spending time in the inner chamber with the Father, with His Word, and receiving the ministry of the Holy Spirit continually, then it's going to override all those things. And then we're going to be a people who cannot condemn what's going on apart from Christ, but be a vessel of holy fire that will expose and enlighten people and set them free. Because there are a lot of well-meaning people out there, but unfortunately, well-meaning won't get the job done. We need to be a people who love God with all our heart. It's, again, the foundational principle to all things. And again, we have to realize it's only as we continually act in obedience to His commands, whatever they may be. And a lot of times, and I know thinking back years ago, God would give me, because I started out in a place of absolute fear, God would give me the simplest command and to obey. And so sometimes I didn't right away because it was scary. And other times I did, and it was still scary. But the fact was, like I said, I started out in absolute fear. So He gave me a word later on, and it was basically obedience will cause the necessary confrontation. First in us, and then as that perfect love casts out that fear in us, then when we go forth in obedience, whatever He's telling us to do or say, then we will confront the fear in others. And that fear can be exposed, and they can choose to cast it out right there. And so there's a power there. And really, one of the great things that God is doing in His holy vessels in this hour is causing people to get free from fear. And I'm telling you, when you get free from fear, you can really begin to discern what the devil's doing and what God's doing, and you can do all things with great clarity in this hour. And God wants us free from fear. Jesus died so that we would have that perfect freedom from fear in all its forms. But we need to have that deep and unshakable trust in God in every area of our lives. And He will put His finger on whatever area it needs. But don't ever be afraid to obey God. And, you know, when there's always the situation, of course, where we come to that crossroads, especially people who have been seeking God for a time, where there's two ways and both potentially could be God, because it's not against the Word of God. But again, God is teaching us to be a people of pinpoint accuracy. Well, you know, you just look at it and you just pray for a while, and then whatever impression you have, you start out in the path you believe is right. And I'm telling you, as long as you're moving, God is able to direct you if it happens to be the other path, or confirm that that's the path. And it's like the old story about sitting in your car and it's at a standstill and you're trying to turn the steering wheel, particularly within the old cars with no power steering. I mean, it was a task to do that. It's almost impossible without power steering on when it stops still. But when you just move a little bit, it's very much easier to turn that wheel. And that's what God can do with us. Instead of us sitting there and wondering and wondering and wondering what God's will is, just keep moving. I mean, don't do something that's against the Word of God. I don't mean that. But I mean, just keep moving. And that's really one of the keys to being led by the Spirit, is just take a little step in faith and if necessary, what seems good to you. And then just discern, you know, with each passing moment. And again, that is one of the benefits of the inner chamber, because there comes an empowerment there that will provide the assurance, you know, that you're in the will of God in that day. But we can't be a people who get out way ahead of ourselves. We need to be a people who focus on the day. And I said this, I believe, yesterday. It's not just that there's enough trouble in one day, because there potentially is, and we need to guard our heart with all diligence and not be ignorant of Satan's schemes. But I'm telling you, in this hour, the blessings of God are going to be so great as far as what He does through us. And I think of the story that Carol told yesterday, that it's going to take enough or time spent in quietness with God just to process what God's doing and understand and praise Him for all the things He's doing. So it's just, all these things really truly do work together and cause us to have a very smooth walk. The Bible says that the way of the righteous is smooth or level. That doesn't mean that we don't have little trials and tribulations. What it means is, ultimately, through the eyes of God, He has created a path for us, and nothing can stop us as long as we're relying on God. So I'm going to do some scriptures from Exodus. I'm going to talk a bit about the Father's refining process and begin to see the pattern as God began to deal with the people of Israel. That's Exodus 15. Like I've said before, when you really allow yourself to spend the time with God and put yourself in that position, God will begin to show you the patterns that of the things I'm talking about. I mean, they're very clear, but you can see the pattern throughout the Word. He never changes. The fact is that it's just a wonderful thing to be able to read stories in the Old Testament and see that God was preparing us, even then, perfectly. There are some people who have just discarded it, and that's not a good thing. So, in Exodus 15, verses 22 to 26, it says, "So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?'" Now, keep in mind, God had brought them gloriously out of Egypt, and that's a sermon in itself, just the benefits that they came out no sick, no lame. And these are a people that were under slavery for 450 years. So God did a supernatural thing there. And that's a type and symbol, actually, what He's doing with the church now and the divine restoration I talked about last night. People who are been struggling along, maybe even under this sickness or whatever attack they've been under, these things are going to fall off them, and they're going to be divinely restored to fulfill their destiny in Christ. So they said, "What shall we drink?" Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Well, you got how many million people grumbling at you? You better cry out to the Lord. It's a good idea. And the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. There he made from them a statute and regulation, and there he tested them, the scripture said. So what the basic premise is here, I kind of have a thing to want to go off in another direction, but it's interesting. Moses took the step in obedience, and then, first of all, towards God, that God showed him, and then he showed him what to do, and he acted, and then the waters became sweet. So you see, it's this whole thing of acting in obedience, and the anointing is released, and the will of God is unfolded. The same thing happened at the Red Sea. Moses said to God, "What do I do? What, do something." And he said, "No, you do something." And he said, "Put forth your staff." If he hadn't put forth his staff, the seas wouldn't have opened. You see how God is, we have our part, and our part is obedience. Actually, really, it's the only way that God can bless us is through our obedience. And again, I'm going to say this as many times as I need to say it to the body of Christ, and that obedience is one thing and one thing alone, and that is a revelation of God's will, a revelation of God's will, and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to carry out that revelation or that that will from A to Z, whether it's instantaneously or whether it's over a period of time. That is a kingdom foundational principle. And if people try to obey God in their own understanding, they're not really obeying God. It's not obedience in His sight. It's actually disobedience. So even though people can do many works that look good, they're actually disobeying God by doing them. That's what opens the door to the devil. So He spoke to Moses, and then He said, and there He tested them. Now, if you go to 2 Chronicles 20:20, or maybe you don't have to go there, I'll read it. It says, "Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established." So put your trust in His prophets and you will succeed. So the basic thing here is that when we put our trust in God, when we move into that place of trusting Him in all things, our heart becomes established with the revelation of His word, His will. We come to know His heart, and that's an amazing thing. And then it says, and then it says, "Put your trust in His prophets and you will succeed." Well, what happens is, a lot of people, I won't spend a lot of time on this, it's again another teaching in itself. Well, what happens is a lot of people don't put their trust in the Lord their God. Their heart is not established, and they go out seeking for a word or seeking for whatever they can get from somebody. Well, because their heart's not established in a revelation of God's will, they open themselves up to false prophecy, to other well-meaning people, who are prophesying out of their soul, and the whole thing just combines to be a mess. And it keeps people away from the will of God, because they prophesy false things to Him. Oh, yes, you should go to Africa. But in the reality, God is not saying that to them. But I'm saying this to you. When your heart is established in the Word of God, because you're willing to do all of the will of God, you will know of the Word that's coming forth, whether it's a teaching a word of prophecy or anything. I'm telling you, God has made a foolproof plan for us. And the only reason people are deceived is because they've chosen to maintain part of their own life in this whole thing. It allows the darkness to come in. I can tell you from experience and through many lessons, God is bringing his people into a place where we walk with pinpoint accuracy and great clarity in this hour. And I will share more on that as I talk more about the glorious church in the times ahead. So God tested the people by speaking forth words expressing his heart desire. He knew what the people needed, and he wanted them to trust him. So now Moses spoke forth the word, and the people believed, and it came to pass. There were times when Moses spoke forth the word when the people did not believe, and then all disaster broke loose in their midst, thinking basically of Korah's rebellion. You study that out. Moses brought forth the revelation of holiness from the mountain, and the people, the Korah and the 250 men of renown, said, "Who are you telling us? We're already holy. Why do you exalt yourself above us?" And what they did was they spoke out of their own heart. It was a self-exalted spirit. They were obviously jealous of Moses. And of course, we see that. And I'll tell you this right now as a seed, one of the greatest things you will face as you continue to seek God in this hour is the spirit of jealousy. And there's two reasons for that. One, there's more than two, but there's two main ones. One, people will be jealous of your relationship with God compared to their relationship with God. And people will be jealous of the blessings of God that come upon you and flow through you to bless those who come there. They've been trying to get results for many, many years, and they're not getting the results. But now they're going to see the results of the true church, and they're going to be jealous of that. But our job in the confronting of jealousy is to simply continue to deny ourselves, bring every thought captive, walk in love towards those people at all costs to ourselves, that they might receive repentance. That's extremely important, absolutely. So, once the word was spoken to them, they would have this clear choice of obeying it, which would bring blessing under the covenant, or disobeying, which would bring them out from under the Abrahamic covenant and subject them to attack by the evil one. Now, putting that in perspective for us today, basically, if you study Deuteronomy 28 there, you'll see that that's very clear. Verses 1 to 14 are the blessings of obedience. And from there on, 15 right through to, I believe, 63 is an explanation of the curse. And it's really every bad thing that can come into us or that came in through the fall. And so today we know that Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse, right? And we also know that it's our obedience that sets forth the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus and all that's is encompassed under that. And so that's worth studying out because actually we were just talking about this earlier. Fact is that in Psalm 25, the word says that God will make us to know his covenant. And once again, that is a matter of coming into his presence and he will reveal that covenant to us. But the basic key is as we obey, the blessings of God overtake us. It's a principle, it's a spiritual principle. Many times I was standing there waiting for the blessing of God, maybe perhaps needed the blessing of God, but I was looking out there like that and kind of standing still, not waiting in the proper manner, and nothing happened. But as soon as I would go about the Father's business and obey what needed to be obeyed, these blessings began to overtake me, and it was a smooth process. And that's a good thing. So if you're wondering why things aren't coming forth, just do what you know God is calling you to do, and things will begin to manifest in his perfect order and unfolding. That's a very important principle. But in this particular case, of course, they had not been redeemed yet. And the fact is that the man of God was speaking forth this word, and as when they obeyed the prophet, then they had success and they prospered and they were blessed. In this case, they were able to get the water. And see, they were grumbling in their heart, and God knew that, and he knew that there would only be two people out of that whole thing that entered into the promised land, Joshua and Caleb. And the fact is that so it is today. There's a great separation process going on, and it's extremely important that we understand obedience and what that means. And then in Exodus 16, verses 2 and 3, it says, "And the whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness." The whole congregation. "And the sons of Israel said to them, 'Would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill us, to kill this whole assembly with hunger. And I mean, basically, people had a very bad heart attitude. They didn't realize they just come out of 400, forgot they'd come out of 450 years of slavery, that they were totally mistreated, and here they are, their hearts going back towards the world. You can't help but think of Lot's wife, and you can't help but think of those today who, in beginning to seek God, find it too difficult and find their solace back in the world. And so this whole pattern's a dangerous thing, because, and I believe I'm going to touch on this later, but well, as soon as they took their eyes off of God and His Word, what the Word the prophet had spoken and all that He had done for them up until that point, now comes the grumbling and complaining. Paul said in Philippians 2:14, do all things without grumbling and complaining. We have no right to grumble or complain. If God never even spoke to us again, just the fact of what Jesus did on the cross would be more than enough to praise Him the rest of our days. But thank God that's not the only thing He's doing in us. So there was a problem here, and so God was bringing these people through a refining process. Again, I believe it was an 11-day journey that took 40 years, and only two people out of how many millions made it? The Israelites began to grumble as soon as the physical circumstances of their needs around them got beyond their own understanding of how those needs would be met. And again, you can draw these comparisons to us today. I mentioned in an earlier teaching that it has to be God that defines our needs. I mean, obviously we have basic needs every day. Paul said that I'm content in whatever circumstances I'm in. You know, whether I'm poor, whether I'm well off, it doesn't make any difference, because he was hooked into the revelation that he was doing God's will. And when you're doing God's will, He will meet your needs the way you need them. But since He's the only one that knows the fullness of His will, He's the one that will define our needs. So we just need to, again, obey God and allow Him to meet our needs by His power. And He will every time, absolutely. But it's like, I mean, an example would be, for instance, say somebody, they felt they were led to start a ministry and they said they need X amount of dollars to build this or do that, but it wasn't God's will. Well, they could stand there and pray and nothing happens. And they're thinking, well, why isn't God meeting my needs? Well, God's not meeting the needs because it was not a need in light of God's will. It was a need based on self-desire and if you want to get right down to it, self-exaltation, getting out ahead of God. But I'm telling you, and I've seen example after example, when God ordains something, He will meet that need superabundantly every time on every level, not just financially, but every level. And so we need to be in a place where we can just allow Him to reveal His will to our heart. Then we'll have an idea what our needs truly are. Absolutely. And then, of course, everybody can relate to this. Because of their desire to dwell on their own understanding, they began to look at Moses and Aaron, or flesh and blood, as their problem. So all he did was deliver the word of God, and they began to grumble. And blame them. And we can relate to that in our own circumstances at times when God has us do or say something and we go forth. And this is why I'm very, and we all should be very careful to do anything, not careful, but to take heed what we say at all times, because there are times when you will speak a word into somebody's life. And if you do it ahead of the time, or you don't perceive what's in their heart, which would mean it wasn't time, it may be time, but if it's not time, and that person will... Well, let me do it this way. When a person is seeking a word, there's that, you know, people are out there, oh, I need to get a word, I need to get a word, and they'll hear one, I don't really like that word, and they go to somebody else to seek a word until one kind of registers with what they want. It puts them in a position of when you speak to them, if you speak a word to them, and they don't really believe it, right? I mean, they don't really receive it, and then as soon as the storms start happening, they'll say, well, so-and-so said. So-and-so said to me, and that must have been a false prophecy because it didn't come to pass in my life. You really have to really walk with pinpoint accuracy in who you speak to, because people will turn on flesh and blood and blame you. Our job, of course, is to obey. Now, if God tells you to speak a word to anybody at any time, you do it. And if they do that, they do that. But I just found that many times I was speaking words that God gave me, particularly on a personal level, and because the people didn't unite their faith with the word spoken and trust that it was from God, as soon as the storms came, the devil tried to come and take it out. It's like, well, he said that, but that must have been wrong because it didn't come to pass. Meanwhile, they didn't even exercise any faith towards what God had spoken to them, or obedience. And they wonder why that didn't come to pass in their life. So these are the types of things, and this is why God is requiring a pinpoint accuracy. But the good news is God's raising up a body of believers who are open to the fullness of His will for their life, and the gifts of the Spirit are going to begin to work the way they were meant to, not just to be used for some entertainment of some sort. Christians today, in allowing themselves to keep their eyes fixed on their physical circumstances, continually fall prey to the same trap of unbelief that awaits all those who put aside the Word of God to lean on their own understanding through fear. You know, Jesus said, be anxious for nothing. And the way the Holy Spirit showed it to me was that if Jesus said, be anxious for nothing, then there isn't anything to be anxious for. And so if we get into that place of anxiety that's trying to creep in, we need to stop. And again, this is another aspect of getting quiet before God and just say, okay, Father, what's going on here? Feeling anxiety. I'm telling you, believers would really do themselves a great favor if they would just simply acknowledge God in all their ways. And when things go wrong, just go and be honest with them. You know, we talk to people honestly and blurt out everything in our heart at times, but we can't go to God and do the same thing, and He already knows. But it's really a wonderful thing, and it blesses the Father's heart when we go and we're honest before Him. And immediately He will tell us what we need to know, that's for sure. It is only when the children of God separate themselves unto Him in all that they do that there will no longer remain the overpowering desire within to sow to the flesh rather than the Spirit of God. And so again, when we separate ourselves wholly unto Him, we're going to be in that place where that our spirit man's in dominance over our soul and body, and those impulses that rise up from the Holy Spirit through our inner man are rising up and affecting our mind, our will, our emotions, and that's the way God wants us to walk. And then we just simply act in accordance with the desires that He's placing on His heart and the instructions of obedience. Again, it's a very simple process, but it does mean for one needs to lay their life entirely down. So then in Exodus 16 again, still, verse 4, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether or not they will walk in my instruction. Now this is a perfect type and similar pattern of the inner chamber, because God was saying, okay, I'm going to provide the rain. Now we know in type that Jesus, He provided the bread in Jesus, who is the bread of life. But He said, the people will go out and gather it. That was the instruction of obedience. A day's portion every day. And we know that they were only to gather a day's portion, and that they ran into trouble when they tried to gather more. And that, again, this points and draws the picture to that whole time in the inner chamber where we go before Him and He brings that bread forth in our heart, that revelation knowledge, for that day. I mean, He may reveal something for the future, but you know, we have to know certain things. But basically, that empowerment for that day. And then, as we go forth in obedience, that whole thing comes forth and is imparted. But again, the devil tries to get us in the past, or keep us in the past, or get us out in the future, anything but now, anything but believing now, obeying now. And so we need to see the pattern in this, and be a people who go out into the presence of God, gather that portion that's there, and then walk in His instruction during that day. And that's when things really truly begin to happen. It's very important, obviously, for us to fellowship each day and partake of the true spiritual food. When you partake of the true spiritual food daily, then your spirit man remains in dominance over your soul and body. If you don't, then the soul rises up and we are controlled in some way. Either our will is not in line with the will of God, our emotions are driving us into the ditch in some way, and our mind is just inundated with thoughts that aren't of God, you know, from the outside and so on. So again, bringing every thought captive is just simply speaking forth a revelation that God has put in our heart to counteract the thing the devil's trying to bring on us. These principles I'm sharing with you are simple, but you know what they take? They take perseverance. And perseverance is the result of a heart wholly given. And people would be amazed if they would just persevere a little longer in certain things, the devil would be driven away. But the devil will try and test us to the limit and see if we're going to back down. But when he runs across a believer that will not back down, they are willing to stay there until they get the victory, then there's very little that he can do in the life of that believer. He has no offense or defense against them. So not only can he not affect them, but they are going out and causing great damage to him and his evil works. again, the analogy is this, that we treat our physical bodies very well when it comes to food, physical food. We know, you know, we need to eat and we enjoy eating, and prayerfully we will eat healthy. But the fact is, we don't forget about eating, right? Well, neither should we forget about the spiritual food that we need to partake of every day. We have to come to the revelation and know that the daily portion of the life and power and love of God that's being imparted to us in our fellowship with Him will sustain us perfectly in that day. And every day you come to the end of the day and you just thank God. And I mean, it is such a different realm that, like I said earlier, we have to develop the practice of stopping and processing. Did God really just do that? And then really, it's an amazing thing. And we need to be a people like that in this hour, because He's going to do many things simultaneously in this hour. And like I said earlier, this is a time where He's leading us from a place of a mindset of natural progression to a mindset of supernatural progression. You know, we think, oh, one thing at a time, one thing at a time. But God, there are things going to come from all over. Answers to prayers you've been praying for years are all going to start to come to pass all at once. And it's just going to be an amazing thing. But the good news is we have the mind of Christ, so therefore we have the capacity to enjoy that, to praise God, and to keep on walking, most importantly, in that. As the children of God begin to gather the spiritual food needed day by day, their eyes will no longer dwell on the future or turn back to the past, for they will have come to learn to live in the present. Now is the byword of true kingdom living. Now, 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 now. And discerning it in that. And again, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance the things that we need from the past. And it also says the Holy Spirit will reveal things to come. But it's the Holy Spirit doing that. And so He can bring us back to something, perhaps if we're sharing a testimony, He'll bring us back to something that God did, and we'll share that testimony or whatever. And in the future, God has established the seeds of revelation in our hearts so that as His will unfolds for our life, we will understand it. That's the way it should be. As things unfold, it should just simply be a confirmation of the seeds He's already planted in our heart. See, this is the way that God wants us to be. And this causes us to rise above all the various elements of confusion the devil tries to bring in, which are all based in darkness. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, and we walk with Jesus, where we go, we're going to walk in that light. And again, what I'm sharing to you is just simply the true Christian life. This at this point. And then we're going to see, as I go on to talk about the glorious church, what the fruit of the true Christian life will bear in the end of this age. It's the way that God always meant it. The Father's process of refining and testing was not formed in order for Him to know what was in our hearts. He knows what's in our hearts because He knows all things. It was for us in order that we might be continually transformed and renewed in our minds to the way that He sees and thinks. You know, we need to be a people that desire to see all things through the Father's eyes, because that's the place of an abiding wisdom, and that's a place of an abiding righteous motivation in all things, because we've become perfect as He is perfect in our motivation towards Him first, and then towards all those who cross our path. And you know, that's an enjoyable thing alone. If we could just, I mean, if there was no devil, if there was no world to be won, we could just go home now and just spend eternity with the Father, which we will eventually, obviously. But the fact is, this thing's begun now already, and we can enjoy this type of existence and relationship with Him now. As a matter of fact, it's the thing that He desires most of us. But as we do that, you see, the spontaneous fruit is now crushing the devil under our feet and treading upon him. I'll deal with that scripture a little later on. But again, the Father's process of refining and testing us and is to bring us in to an absolute faith and trust in Him. And from that point, and that, of course, works through a perfect love, first towards Him again, and then towards others. And that will always manifest in a perfect obedience. And then that will manifest in the fullness of the release of His power in whatever way it's needed in any situation, no matter how big or how small. Again, these are simple things. And when Christians begin to walk in this, the world will be impacted from the smallest thing to the largest thing. And of course, it's the Father's deepest desire to separate us from sin. I mean, for us to walk above that, and to no longer be bound by that sin consciousness or unworthiness consciousness or a condemnation consciousness. We are who God says we are. We're not who the devil says we are. We've been redeemed from that mess. And so we need to concentrate on what God says we are. And as we do, then He will empower us to walk in that. And He really desires us to, first of all, again, be in that environment of the inner chamber. But then the wonderful thing, and again, I'm going to expand on this later as I talk about the glorious church and what he's doing as far as the establishment of these true spiritual environments. The first and foremost true spiritual environment is our personal time alone with the Father. And this is why I encourage people. There are many people out there who are, well, let's just say unequally yoked in whatever relationship they're in. And, you know, it may be, in most cases, it is. The wife is totally sold out to God and the husband is not, or worse, doesn't even know the Lord, although equally or just as bad, because it's not going to be the perfect environment that's conducive to spiritual growth. But what I encourage people with is that no matter how bad your environment is right now, because in some cases people get born again and come into that heart wholly given to God and then everything remains the same out there, I just encourage them, no, you can create your own true spiritual environment even in the midst of that bad corporate environment. And this is a very important principle. When you're in an environment that's not good, it's not God's best, it may be for that moment, you have to trust and believe that it's God's best for that moment. When you're not in that environment or not to the fullness of where he's bringing you yet, this is the key and it's very important. Be obedient in the circumstances you're in, and your circumstances will be changed by God, and he will ultimately unfold and bring you to that place of true spiritual environment corporately. And again, this is why I tell people, you pray and you go into the environments that God leads you to go. You don't go to a church just because you think you should go to that church. You need to be where God tells you to go. Absolutely. And if he tells you not to go to a church, then don't go to the church, because God is doing a work in this hour. And I know that upsets a lot of people when people, they maybe leave a church and then people are upset because now they feel somehow take offense that it's a comment on them. But quite simply, and I deal with many, many people throughout the entire world, God is calling people out, certain people out at certain times of the denominational structure. And that's the way that is. And it's God. And although there's been persecution in the past, the fruit of their obedience will be seen. And God will use them to go back and help the people that need to be to gain the revelation. But the bottom line is, we need to be a people who walk by revelation so that when God tells us something, and remain in that place of revelation, so that when persecution comes, or just the devil trying to say we miss God or whatever, we know that God told us to do that, and we just continue on in the path, and God will be our vindication. I'm still at some point going to talk about the importance of having that revelation, how to deal with reproach, persecution, and also to realize that God is our vindication, period. Because when you get the revelation of how to handle those things properly, and again, it comes back to the inner chamber, and knowing the Father's love for us and having his approval, we will not have the fear of man. Well, if you don't have the fear of man, it will keep you clear. And as you walk in the revelation knowledge, you can handle every situation in love that comes across your path. And it will be a confirmation of that person. It will be a sign to that person. And it will certainly be a sign of the devil and the forces assigned against you that you will not give in at all. That's very important. We cannot allow ourselves to be a people who are influenced by people. I mean, and if you are truly sold out to the will of God, he will lead you to the people who will be a good influence on you. But we cannot allow ourselves we dealt with an incident last night, and we were just talking about a certain situation. And the bottom line is, you've got one person saying this and one person saying that, and we got church splits and we got this and that. But the bottom line is, in any situation that arises, don't base it on past experience even if it's the same experience you've experienced before. Don't just necessarily think that God's going to do the same thing in that situation because it looks the same. Always go in to prayer. You may get the revelation instantaneously and know what to do, but if you don't, go into prayer, find out what to do with pinpoint accuracy. If people did that, it would avoid a lot of problems in the church, but people don't. And so now you got people saying this and people saying that, but neither one of them are hooked into God. Well, there's division going somewhere to happen right there. So, you know, again, if we focus on God, then we're going to avoid a lot of problems. That's extremely important. Okay, so we're talking about the Father's process of refining and testing. So this is a good thing. I mean, I can think of times in my life, and I just praise him for his perfection and the way he does things. But there were times when he wasn't saying too much to me about things. But he was teaching me you know, I'd look back at all the different words he'd give me and all the different things he'd shown me. He was not wanting me to get a new word. He was wanting me to believe what he'd already given me. So that's a good check to do, is if nothing's happening, go back, go over your journals, go back over the words he's given you, stay in the Word of God, and he'll confirm your way. But the bottom line is, whether we feel like he's present or not, he is. He's got his eye on us, and he knows the deepest need, the deepest desire, the deepest element of every one of his children's lives all at once. And the fact is that he's watching over his word to perform it. And as we just simply come into that absolute trust, and that's the time we're in right now, again, he is bringing his children into that place of absolute trust so we can go forth in the fullness of all that he intended for us. So, you know, God has a mission in this hour, and that's what it is. So whatever refining process we're going through, or whatever stage, whatever transition, that's what it's based on, first of all. And I can tell you, when you can see the light at the end of that tunnel and you step through into what we're about to step through into corporately as true believers in Jesus Christ, it is an amazing thing. And not once through this refining process have I looked back and not praised God for anything but his perfection and his dealing. You always see his wisdom. He's never behind, he's never ahead, he's just always perfect. In Psalm 81, the word says, "Oh, that my people would listen to me." Now hear the cry of the Father's heart in this. "That Israel would walk in my ways. I would quickly subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. Those who hate the Lord would pretend obedience to him, and their time of punishment would be forever. But I would feed you with the finest of the wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you." Now there's the heart cry of the Father in that calling us to be obedient to his word, knowing. You see, this is the other aspect of obedience. It's not, well, you do something for me and then, you know, we're okay. It's not that at all. It's because it just in the same way that faith was the way that God created, the method, the vehicle he chose to create through words, and he spoke forth those words and that caused the creation. Well, so it is that obedience is the thing that causes us to love him to accomplish what we need to accomplish through his wisdom. So we've got to get this works mentality out of there. Well, if I do that for God, maybe he'll be happy with me. He will be happy with you, but that's not why you're doing it. You're doing it because you love God and you want to see his will manifest. But again, we have to have that mentality obliterated that we're doing any kind of works to gain the approval of God. We have the approval of God already. We do the works because we love him and we love those who he sends across our path. And he says, "I would feed you with the finest of the wheat and honey from the rock, I would satisfy you." And the whole thing is that he desires to share that revelation and that the deepest desires of his heart. You know, he calls us to be obedient to his word in order that we might draw near to him and fulfill his deepest heart desire for pure fellowship with us. I mean, that's what he desires. And again, you know, "Oh, that my people would listen to me and walk in my ways." Basically, then I would quickly subdue their enemies. And that's what I say. You know, you go into the inner chamber and you find out in any given situation what the wisdom of God is. Then we get the wisdom and the power to subdue the enemy immediately. I mean, yes, we have authority. We've been given authority over the enemy and all the power of the enemy. But the fact is we need to have that wisdom from God to do it with pinpoint accuracy and to exercise that authority. We can't just fire out a shotgun prayer and hope it hurts the devil. God has made it so that we can absolutely take the devil down. I talked yesterday about that blueprint that he will bring out before us if we go and really seek him and truly desire not to be ignorant of his schemes. He will bring out that blueprint. He'll show us exactly what's going on. It's an amazing thing to walk in the know. And that's where we need to be in this hour. If we really want to be free ourselves and if we really want to set the captives free or be used to set the captives free, we need to walk in that place. Absolutely. I mean, this has been the heart desire of the Father through the ages. And again, the very reason why he created Adam. And so it just continues on. In Psalm 66, it says, "Bless our God, O peoples, and sound his praise abroad, who keeps us in life," or literally puts our soul in life, "and does not allow our feet to slip. For thou hast tried us, O God. Thou hast refined us as silver is refined." And that's a whole study in itself. I once heard a teaching on that, how they actually refine silver. And I can't repeat that right now. But basically, it's just the same process God used and getting us into that pure state of abiding in Christ before him. And so we're refined as the Word of God, on which is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, enters into our heart. That's a very much a key. It enters into our heart. This explains why sometimes, as the Word is heard, particularly in an area where sin has been retained willfully, that believers will experience the convicting fire and light of the Holy Spirit. And of course, this is what can indeed make all discipline and reproof seem not to be joyful. But I love that word seem in Hebrews 12:11. Seem not to be joyful. In other words, it's hard on the flesh, but it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And God is raising up a righteous remnant that are going to go forth in His righteousness and again, release all these kingdom forces of wisdom and love and peace. And the world needs that. They need to see all these things. They need to see God and know Him as He is. This refining process is geared, again, to us coming to the place of abiding in God's Word. And if we're truly seeking spiritual growth, we're going to find ourselves in situations where we're called to exercise faith in God and trust in God. And, you know, this process is going to end. I'm telling you, it absolutely is. I'm not saying that we don't have to guard our heart with all diligence. We'll do that as long as we're in this earth. But I'm saying God is going to bring us forth in this hour as pure vessels of His holiness. You know, another reason why God has to refine us is because when we first become born again, particularly, all our securities are in the world. They're all in the things we've established and whatever it is, relationships or finances, whatever. And we have to come to that place from trusting in ourselves and our own means and getting by to trusting completely in God. Now, to put another thing on this, we should be a people that no matter what's happening in the world or whatever the reports are, the economic system or whatever else, the wars, everything else, that we're not affected by inflation. We're not affected by it. Why? Because God is our provider in every way, shape, and form. And the fact is that when we come into this place of an absolute faith and we come into the place of walking with both feet in the kingdom, He will be our security. And again, this is part of that being free from fear. And we won't be a people sitting around complaining about the gas prices. We'll realize that God is our provider. And if we need gas, then we'll have it. I don't care if it's $100 a gallon. That's just the way that is. And that's the mindset we need to develop. And then you see, we can walk in peace and trust and joy. And that is the way of the kingdom. We have to know again that the Father is worthy to be trusted in every circumstance. Again, He said, perfect obedience will bring forth the necessary confrontation. And again, I'll repeat this because it really is very important. In the beginning of a believer's walk, they'll step forth in obedience and God will confront the fear in us when we're new believers. But in this age, people who've been seeking Him, yes, fear will be confronted us. We just cast that aside, or it's cast aside. And now we're able to set other people free from fear. That's a very important thing. Because when a person gets free from fear, they're going to be able to see more clearly. And then they can at least see the truth. Absolutely.
Would you repeat the sentence where you started out? Perfect obedience will bring the confrontation?
Yeah, perfect obedience will bring forth the necessary confrontation. Meaning, as God's refining us and trying us, that He'll put us in circumstances that we need to be in. And usually they're not so pleasant at first. But I'm telling you, when you are faithful to do that, it works out perfectly every time. And pretty soon, it doesn't matter what your circumstances are. You just deal with it right there, knowing that God is accomplishing the work and in you first. But like I said, God's raising up a people. And we need to have this mentality that He's dealing with us, but it's for a purpose. And that's so that we can be blessed to be a blessing.
You're saying that when we see, when we're confronted with something, we see it and we don't have to wait this long period of time. We confront it right then and there and we go on.
Well, no, we don't confront it. Just you, as a matter of fact, I'll give you an example. You can go forth in perfect obedience and God tells you to do something. And just being there, the very Spirit upon us, the very Spirit of obedience. Again, I'll talk about the kingdom forces, but there is power in obedience. I mean, the light of God flows off that. The love of God, it will convict people. You might just be doing a simple act of obedience that doesn't have anything to do with those people, but the Spirit of God will get out on them, and that will provide the necessary confrontation in their heart. And if there's fear in us, then it will provide the necessary confrontation in us. But we should deal with that very quickly. So that's the word He gave me, and that was after a number of years, and it's very, very true. So we need to be ready all the time, because you can go forth with a big smile on your face and the joy of the Lord in your heart, and somebody could be affected very deeply by that. Nothing to be afraid of. I'm just saying, just be ready, because these things can happen. Because the Spirit of God is being poured out in this hour, and it will have its effect. You can't have an outpouring of God's Spirit and not have it affect something. It will always affect something. In allowing His children to continually exercise their free will in every situation, the Heavenly Father has ensured that as His children come to see the folly of leaning upon their own understanding, like I said yesterday, it's better to learn through obedience than to learn through disobedience. Either way, we're going to be taught, but it's better to learn through obedience than disobedience. So they see the folly of leaning on their own understanding. They will come to Him and to His Word voluntarily in love without any compulsion on His part. I mean, if you have to force your children to do something, that's not love. I mean, and they do something, it's not love coming from the children to you, and actually it's not love from you to the children. You're seeking something. But when we just simply voluntarily go into the presence of God just because we love Him, and it, you know, we don't seek ministries, we don't seek blessing, we don't seek anything except to love Him, and then in Matthew 6:33, all these things will be added unto you super abundantly. Absolutely. I think of Solomon, and I think of the first thing that he did. God basically asked him what he wanted, and he said, I want the wisdom to discern your people and to judge your people and to rule your people. And God said, not only will I give you that, that thrilled God's heart. Not only will I give you that, but I'll give you all these other things. Because you see, the problem with the abuses in the church, and I know Solomon got off in that because he retained idolatry and he allowed the idols still to be worshipped in the high place. And that's a warning for us. But nonetheless, that prayer was a valid prayer, and God blessed him amazingly. And the fact is that when we are walking in the wisdom of God and we're dwelling in the presence of God, then we can be trusted with the blessings of God, because we're going to distribute them, we're going to do whatever He wants us to do with them. And that's all that God requires.
Can I interject?
Sure.
That the reason he went off the way he did was because he didn't go through the refining, the very thing you're talking about. Yeah. He didn't have the kind of refining David had. He didn't have the cave of Adullam or whatever.
Absolutely.
And so therefore, he really couldn't handle the wisdom that was the gifts that were given him.
Absolutely. That's a perfect point, and I'll tell you why. Because the difference now is that in the early church, it's the same pattern, actually. Many didn't go through the refining, and so there were many abuses in every area, whether it's gifts or finances or whatever. But the good news is, God is the cross. God is raising up a people who've been in the cave, who have gone through these processes, and now, as God's blessings are poured out, because it doesn't matter what concept people have of money, it's going to take trillions of dollars to do what God wants to do in this last hour, to establish the things He needs to establish, to set the captives free, to bring His people out of debt to start with, and to do whatever else He needs to do. There's already trillions of dollars within the church. There is. It's all going all over the place. But the fact is that He's raising up a people who dwell in His presence. And if you study out in Isaiah, I believe it's 22 or 23 at the end, it says, let's go there. If I can't quote it, God says, you better read it. Yeah. The things I'm just touching on in this particular time, I'm going to deal with in more, but they're all seeds that are leading towards, Isaiah 23, verses 17 and 18. Now, Tyre is a type and symbol of the world financial system. And, you know, I'm not an expert in this particular area, but I do know this scripture. It's Isaiah 23, verse 17. And it says, "And it will come about at the end of 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre. Then she will go back to her harlot's wages and will play the harlot with all the kingdoms on the face of the earth. And her gain and her harlot's wages will be set apart to the Lord. It will not be stored up or hoarded," which is the way of the world, "but her gain will become sufficient food and choice attire for those who dwell in the presence of the Lord." Now, getting back to what was said, the fact is that Solomon asked for wisdom to discern the people of God. And that was a wonderful prayer. And that, of course, is what God desires of each one of us in this hour. He did not go through the refining processes, and idolatry was maintained in the kingdom, and therefore he fell away from that. David, on the other hand, went through this place of refining in the cave. And when David ruled, he was a man after God's own heart, and he did what God told him to do, evidenced in the fact that every time he went to battle, he acknowledged God and was never defeated in battle. And so, and he did have some problems in the refining process, we know that, but so did we. And the fact is that now God has raised up a people who are being purified through this refining process, a people who have come to dwell in his presence. And so we can trust this tremendous blessing in whatever way that takes shape and way, shape and form. He can bless, and they won't be a generation that falls, because we have a job to do. We have X amount of time to do it, whatever the timetable is in the Father's plan. And that's why he's calling us to holiness. So we don't need to have this fear of finances and all these other things, or misusing the blessings of God, even the gifts, even the revelation of God, because we're a people that love God with our whole heart. We're a people who desire to use the blessings simply to be a blessing and to do exactly what God wants us to do. And again, this points out the importance of that refining process. And without it, people will not fulfill their destiny in Christ. They just won't. I mean, the fullness of what God intended for them. And so, but many will. Many will enter into that place. Okay, in Deuteronomy 8, verses 5 through 7a, it says, "Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you, just as a man disciplines his son. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear or reverence him, for the Lord is your Lord your God is bringing you into a good land." And again, the key is that this is the promised land for them, but it is the fullness of our inheritance, the fullness of our destiny in Christ that refers to us. And in Deuteronomy 8, verse 16, the same chapter, "In the wilderness he fed you with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end." That again goes to that Hebrews 12 scripture, "For our greatest good always. Otherwise you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth." And so what he's talking about is the work of the cross being done. If we come to a place of such total dependence upon God through our trust in him, we know who's doing it. In my own experience, in our own experience, I mean, corporately as the body, we know that God's doing the good things in us. I mean, it's not like somehow we're doing this or we had this in our own flesh to actually partake in this. It's just simply the wisdom of God and the obedience of God flowing through us and the love of God flowing through us to manifest. And every Christian needs to come to that place where they just realize it's God that's doing this in them. I mean, that may be a simple thing. They may say it's God doing it in them, but if there's any element of seeking after self-glory, then that will be tainted. And he's saying, if I don't humble you, if I don't bring you to that place, do that deepest work of the cross, then you may say in your heart that it's me. And people do that. They do it unconsciously. But again, that's part of that seeking the praises of men. So the reality of true faith has been diluted and distorted to the point where many believers are exercising an impure faith. In other words, they still have faith in themselves. A natural faith that comes from assurance in their own ability, of which we have none, spiritually speaking, rather than the absolute faith or trust and assurance that we need to have in the Word of God. The day has come when all who would call themselves believers in Jesus Christ must seek to come into a knowledge of what true faith is. And I'm going to stop here now, and I'm going to continue on with that this evening, and we'll go into this whole thing with faith and again, the importance of the refining process. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your word gone forth. And we just thank you, Father, for the seeds sown in each one of our hearts. And we just thank you that you will continue to water these seeds. And just like the vision that you showed me of these seeds spontaneously growing into the fullness, we just thank you for that exponential growth in our hearts in this hour, Father, that we might see clearly and know clearly your heart, and that we might be empowered perfectly by you. In Jesus' name, amen.